Our reading this morning is from Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and beginning in verse 4. Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.
Good morning. I don't know what you believe, but I believe that once every 27 years, it is incumbent on me to preach a tactile sermon. I want to reach out to all of my kinesthetic learners, and we're going to have a tactile sermon. My sermons are always verbal. Usually they're doubly verbal with a note sheet and an open Bible. Not today. It's going to be Bible, but I'm not holding one. Usually they are also visual with a Prezi on the screen. Not today. That's all you get. You can write all those words down if you want to. I'm reaching out to my kinesthetic friends. How many of you are there? You have a Bible? I could. Okay. All right. This is going to be good. This is going to be better than it's seeming so far. Okay. When you're kinesthetic, you know, you don't organize things real well either. You kind of ease into it. So we're going to do a hands-on sermon. I've got it prepared, but I'm going to need you to give me a hand. Just because it's a kinesthetic sermon doesn't mean there's no bad jokes. That's kind of a common. Okay, moving right along quickly. This is going to help you. It really is. I'm going to do the same thing about four or five times, and you're going to get this down with your hand, okay? And it's going to give you something that will help you understand baptism better. It's going to give you something that will help you remember what is really important in Christianity. And it's going to give you something that will help you be able to live better as a Christian. It's going to do all of those things. And you're going to be able to remember it. But you've got to be willing to participate and use your hand. How many of you think you will be willing to participate? Okay, that's good. That's enough. Now, some of you will know that there was a guy back in the Restoration Movement that led to the Churches of Christ named Walter Scott. Not the guy that was shot a couple years ago. Not the guy, the Scottish writer, but a leader in the movement that became the Churches of Christ. And he did a little five-finger exercise. You probably haven't heard it. You think you have, but you haven't. Because his five-finger exercise was faith in Jesus, repentance of sins, baptism, forgiveness, and the Holy Spirit. That's how he outlined some important things about becoming a Christian. Later, that was changed by others to something that a lot of us have heard and grew up with, and that is hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. That was what the five-finger exercise became. There's some good in that. There's some problems with it. And I want to describe the problems so that we can avoid them with what we're going to do today, a different exercise. One of the problems is, at best, the hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized is 20% what God does and 80% what we do. You know, hear the gospel could be taken as what God does. But really, that one's even stated in terms of us hearing it more so than him doing it. So I think that one's a little bit out of balance. The other problem is, another problem is, that this very easily becomes a little checklist. hear, believe, check, 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 check. I had a preacher that even reduced it more, HBRCB, you know, and you could spit out the little acronym or whatever, but you might not have a clue what they meant. And I kind of got the feeling that you didn't really have to believe, you just had to agree that it was necessary to believe. So what we do with ours today, we don't want to reduce it to a checklist. This is a memory device. And let it remind you of some important things, but then think about those things. Don't just do a little checklist, okay? Now, the one I'm going to share comes from a guy named Scott Adair. He's an associate professor of Bible at Harding University. I read a paper that he wrote, and a lot of it's pretty good. It's not a perfect thing, okay, but it's pretty good, and I do think it will help us. He says that he's done some other things with it. I looked online and haven't been able to find those, so I'm going to just give you what I can from him, and I think it'll be helpful, okay? So get your hand out. I'm going to use my left hand so I can point with my right hand. And what we're going to do is I'm going to go through it once just to get the basic thing down, and then we'll go through it, and I'll show you how it helps us with baptism, with remembering what's important, and with living a Christian life. Okay? Got your hand out? All right. Unfortunately, we don't start off with a bang. This is one of my least favorites. Okay? So put your thumb up like that. This is an affirmation that Jesus is Lord. Now, you can probably guess why I've got a little problem with that, because the affirmation that Jesus is Lord is way different than clicking thumbs up on what your friend had for breakfast that they posted on social media, okay? But if that can remind you of an affirmation that Jesus is Lord, a profound, all-encompassing affirmation, then that's a good memory device, okay? So that one is Jesus is Lord. The second one, point up to the sky. God is one. Go on and say that with me. God is one. And we've read that, and we know that from last Sunday. If you want to, and I think this is worth doing, your knuckles can be Father, Son, and Spirit. Because God is one, even though he has different aspects to him, he's still a unity, still just one finger here, right? God is one, Father, Son, and Spirit. All right, Jesus is Lord, there is one God. This is death, burial, and resurrection. Death, burial, and resurrection, okay? Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, okay? That's the heart of the Christian faith, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Now, to some of the older folks here, and a few of the younger folks, this may look like a peace sign, okay? And as long as you remember, we're not talking about 60s hippie peace. That's pretty good, because the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus does give us peace with God and peace within ourselves. To some of us, that may look like a victory sign. And as long as you can keep the politics out of it, yeah, that's pretty good too. Because the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus does give us victory. Okay? So, Jesus is Lord, one God, death, burial, and resurrection. Then there's this finger. Some of us have a ring on this finger. Some of us jammed it playing basketball and have never been able to get the ring on again. Some of us don't have a ring. Some of us want to have a ring. How many of you would know? This really doesn't have to do with marriage. I mean, it does with our hands, but we're going to let this be the finger of relationships. Okay, let the ring remind you of relationships and church. This is your brothers and sisters, okay? So that's that one. Now the next one, since I'm already way out of my comfort zone anyway, we're just going to do this. If I'm ever going to do it, I've got to do it today. You now don't start till I say go. You have 10 seconds to have a pinky war with somebody sitting close to you. Now, there's a few rules. Don't start yet. One is, don't dislocate anybody's finger. Two is, no tickling with the offhand. Okay? And three, and this is important, if you're not getting along with the person sitting beside you, it's probably not a good idea even to have a pinky war. Okay? So be very careful. Just kind of gently tug them your direction. You may have 10 seconds. Go. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. How many of you won? How many of you lost? Okay. How many of you have a sore pinky? Anybody? Okay. That's the real reason we did that. This is your shortest and weakest finger. And it reminds us of our humanity. It reminds us of our frailty. It reminds us of our weakness. Okay? So that's that one. Now, next, open your hand like this, like you're receiving a gift. And it's going to be the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, this is not the method for receiving the Holy Spirit. This is the method for remembering the importance of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift we receive. He is. And then the last one is, raise your hand and remember resurrection and hope and eternal life. Okay? All right, now I'm going to go through them, and then I'm going to see if you can do it. All right? So, Jesus is Lord. There is one God. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Relationships, community, weakness, frailty, humanity, receive the Spirit, and hope of eternal life. All right, now you say them. Jesus is Lord, one God. Okay? Okay? Huh? Weakness, frailty, humanity, okay? Receive the Spirit and resurrection and hope. Okay. Now, we're going to go through that three more times a little faster. All right. Because this helps us with baptism. If you've been baptized, that can help you remember what happened. The Bible writes and says, don't you know when you were baptized? And reminds them. So we need to be reminded of what happened when we were baptized. If you haven't been baptized, these are things you need to understand. Or if you want to help someone else who's interested in getting baptized, this can remind you of what you need to talk to them about. One is that when you get baptized, you are embracing Jesus as your Lord. You will confess Him as Lord, our Son of God, our Christ, our King. You will confess Him and embrace Him as the leader of your life. Okay? If you get baptized, you will get baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, some baptism in the New Testament doesn't do all of that, but that's how Matthew says it, and that's how we do it around here. Okay? So you will belong to God, Father, Son, and Spirit. If and when you get baptized, you will die with Christ, you will be buried with Christ, and you will be raised up and live a new life. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is the basis of salvation. And if you get baptized, you're going to die with Him, be buried with Him, and be raised up with Him. Relationships, community. Not only are we baptized into Christ, we are baptized into the body of Christ. We become a part of the people of God. We become a part of the church. At least one other part of the church will be there with you, helping you. The Holy Spirit is the real baptizer, but you'll have a human helping you. And that is pretty good symbolism of the church that you are getting baptized into. Fifth is our frailty, our weakness is going to be forgiven. If you believe in Jesus and you embrace Him as Lord and are baptized into Him, your sins are forgiven and you receive the Holy Spirit. There are a couple of exceptions to that in the Bible. If you're concerned about those, come talk to me afterward. But the norm is you receive the Spirit when you're baptized. And if you do get baptized with faith in Jesus, I'm convinced you will receive His Spirit. And then you will have hope for eternal life. Okay? So baptism has to do with embracing Jesus as Lord, being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, dying with Christ, being buried, being raised with Christ, being baptized into the body, having your sins forgiven, receiving the Spirit, and receiving hope for eternal life. So that's a pretty good summary. Again, this isn't all perfect, but I think that's a pretty good summary. All right, what about the things that are important? Last week, when we were talking about unity, we noticed that Paul calls attention to these seven things. Remember, God and Father are combined. These seven really important matters. And you could probably spit out five or six of them. You know, most of us can. But here's a way of remembering all seven of those, okay? There is one Lord, there is one God, there is one faith. Now that's not a perfect one, but the heart of our faith is in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. There is one body, the church. There is one baptism, which is connected with forgiveness. That one's not perfect either, but it works, I think. One baptism, one Spirit, and one hope. Okay? Now, most of you may now take a 30-second break while I talk to the other two of you who are interested in systematic theology. Okay? The classical divisions of systematic theology are Christology, theology, soteriology, ecclesiology, anthropology, pneumatology, and eschatology. Okay? And so I just said that again in a foreign language. Okay? But that's a way to remind us of things that really matter. It's not all that matters. The Bible talks about other things too, but the Bible also indicates some things are more important than others. And if I'm understanding Ephesians 4 right, it's telling us, focus on these big things you all have in common. Okay? And then the last thing is, how can this help us live better? If you're like me, and you should pray that you're not, but if you're like me, you probably struggle more with wanting to do the right thing than knowing the right thing. Usually, I know the right thing, not always, but wanting to do it is a problem sometimes. And frankly, I'm struggling with that a little bit right now. And I do not encourage you to come get in my face and ask me what that's about, okay, because I'm struggling with doing the right thing. And if you get in my face, I might not. Okay. Back to the prepared material again. We're supposed to be living with Jesus as our Lord. I'm not supposed to do what I feel like doing. I'm not supposed to do what I want to do as my Lord. Hopefully I want to do the right thing. Sometimes I do. But ultimately, it's not what you want me to do. It's not what culture wants me to do. It's not what my feelings want me to do. It's what my Lord wants me to do. To be a Christian means Jesus is Lord. God is love. And if you're going to follow God, you have to learn to live in love. And if anybody does not love, they do not know God, for God is love. If you want to do the right thing, put off the old life and put on the new. The Bible makes a lot out of that. Jesus died and was buried and was raised. You died with him. You were buried. You were raised. So put off that old yucky stuff. Put it to death and put on the new appropriate stuff. Put off anger and wrath and bitterness and put on compassion and humility and meekness. You're not going to finish in a day. You got to keep doing that. Being a Christian means living in community. I want to tell you, when it's just me and God, we're all good. But the truth is, I've got a few problems with myself as well. But sometimes we think, man, those people. Well, those people are God's gift to you. And a part of the gift is to learn to live in love with them. You cannot be a solo Christian. We've got to learn to do it in community. God is trying to bring us all together as one. This one, mortality, frailty, humanity, we need to be forgiven, but we won't be unless we forgive others. This finger reminds us we've got to forgive one another. Receive the Spirit. The Spirit wants to transform us and bear His fruit in our lives. And if we follow the Spirit, which does not mean fly by the seat of your pants, as it does in common parlance, but if we let Him have His way with us, it'll change our life. And if we live as if here we have no enduring city, but we're looking for the city to come, that'll change the way we live too. So living with Jesus as Lord helps us live right. Living in love helps us live right. Putting off the old and putting on the new helps us live right. Working it out with people helps us live right. Forgiving others helps us live right. God's Spirit empowers us to live right. And looking forward to the city to come helps us live right. I think that'll help you. If you forget one, email me, call me, catch me in the hall. Don't walk around all the time going, you know. But let that remind you of the truths, not just the points, the truths of what God is doing in our lives. And if you want to talk to somebody about any of that or anything else, we'll have shepherds and wives at the back. You can catch them now while we stand and sing.